2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 4. The King, a warning. This is what we read. Here is the King of Israel. And the King of Israel is talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, Elisha. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and this is what he had said. Tell me about all the great things Elisha has done. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 4. Now, this is just an incident, the background, if you like, to a bigger picture. This is just the way things were happening when the Shunammite woman comes in. But I'll leave that part of the episode for another discourse. I want to concentrate on this king. Here he is talking, and he's talking to Gehazi, and we know what he's talking about. We know what is interesting him. He wants to know about the man of God. He wants to know about Elisha. He wants to know the things that Elisha has done, the great things he has done, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. And Gehazi is telling him, what can we learn from this king? Well, there are several commendable things I'd like to put to your attention. He's curious. Now, that's a great thing. Curious. One of the great sadnesses to me is the lack of curiosity amongst believers today. Certainly amongst unbelievers, they're just apathetic. But amongst the majority of believers, a lack of curiosity, of interest in spiritual things. It grieves me. It's a very bad symptom, a symptom of something very bad underneath. Now this king is curious, and he's asking, and he's talking, and he's fascinated, he's interested. These are all commendable things. Would to God I had more people contacting me and being interested in spiritual things and talking about them and asking questions. He's asking, he's inquiring. He wants to talk, I say. He's wants to find out. All that is commendable. I say again, it grieves me that so many are just blank today. They don't seem to want to know, they don't seem to be curious, they don't seem to be interested. They buy the books, they listen to the discourses, but it doesn't seem to go anywhere. I don't understand it. Something very serious is wrong. Now the king. So the commendable things. He's curious, he's asking. But what's he curious about? What's he asking about? That's the vital thing. Curiosity is one thing, but what are you interested in? What makes you tick? Well, it's the miracles. It's the signs, it's the works, it's the great works, it's the miracles. That's what he's interested in. Now, this is a very serious thing. Why is he interested in these great signs? Is it from what they'll teach him? Is it what they'll teach him about spiritual things, about the gospel, in fact? Or what? Well, it's the what, isn't it? Because he's interested in the miraculous in the sense of the spectacular. And look at his interest. He's not interested to ask for his own personal change of life. Is there any thought here of sin, my sin, repentance, my need to repent, obedience, faith, trust in the gospel, trust in what the gospel says, above all, of course, hearing of the gospel, the trust in Christ. Is there anything personal about it? Any trust in it? Any heart work in it? No, it's all external, isn't it? It's all mental, it's all academic, it's all antiquarian. He's just interested in the theories, the spectacular, the mental, the material, the external, I say. It's all second-hand, it's just talk. That's what he's interested in, talking about religion. I've met these people. They want to talk about religion and the gospel and Christ and salvation and doctrine. They'll talk till the cows come home. But it never changes their lives. It grieves me, you know, when I think, for example, of the books of Martin Lloyd-Jones. I've used those books, say Romans and Ephesians and so on. I've used them very thoroughly in my time. But, you know, many people that I speak to now about certain matters of the gospel law, grace, the new covenant, and so on, that they would raise their hands in horror if I said things that Lloyd-Jones says. And yet they got these books on their shelves, they published them, they so say read them, but do they read them? A second-hand bookseller told me once the number of Banner of Truth books he buys in mint condition never been opened. I confess it myself. The king is like that. He's just interested in having the book on the shelf. There it is. I've got the complete sets of this and that and the other. But my friend, what has it done? Spurgeon said, give me a man of one book who's been mastered by it and who has mastered the book. The leaves are falling out. It's all stained and dog-eared and so on, but he's really mastered it, especially if that book is the Bible. You see, the king comes really, I think, in Matthew 7:22. You know, he'll talk about religion. He knows about this and he knows about that, but it's made no difference. The great thing is, my friend, is Christ knowing him. I never knew you, Matthew 7:22. And judgment day is coming. And it won't be enough to say, oh, I was curious, I was interested, I asked questions. What effect has that had on the life? What obedience is there to the gospel? What submission is there to Christ? What trust is there in the Lord? What repentance from sin? What turning from sin? What calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus? What obedience to him? Don't make the gospel, don't make Christ a distant, external hobby, something to be curious about, willing to talk about it, a sermon taster, a book buyer, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth in the spiritual sense. Is there no heart work here? No, there isn't. It's all talk. It's all curiosity. There's no personal. The king is a solemn warning. I believe he's needed today. I believe there are many like this today. They have an interest in religion. They make it a hobby. Oh, don't be interested in religion. Trust Christ. Serve Christ. Obey Christ from the heart. The king, a warning. May we heed the warning and avoid his example. Yes, I want curiosity. Yes, I want interest. Yes, I want conversation. But may it result in spiritual action under Christ for the glory of God. The king, a warning. May we be wise enough to heed the warning. I appeal to you to heed it, and I speak to myself too. Let us learn from this king's bad example. Amen.